As soon as your tithes and offerings are collected, we will give you outlines for our lesson. Today I have a special lesson that I do once a year. Long-term members are well familiar by now with our annual State of the Pulpit addresses. I'll explain more about that to you newer folks in a moment. Let me just say, as you've noticed above, there are no power kids today because of Memorial Day weekend. And because it is Memorial Day weekend, and because we are a nation at war, I think it'd be appropriate for us to stop what we're doing right now and have a word of prayer. So would you bow with me, please? Father, we know that your word says that until the Lord Jesus comes back and puts an end to all war forever, that wars will continue to be a part of the way that the kingdoms of men deal with each other. But you also said we're to pray for our leaders, to pray for a peaceful world. So we do that. We pray for an end to the war in Iraq. We pray for men of good heart and minds to begin to lead the peoples of that part of the world. We pray for all of our men and women who are serving our country there, for their safety, their well-being, and for a quicker trip home. We pray for all those families in our country this weekend who grieve as they remember the sacrifice they paid in giving up sons and daughters to defend our nation. And I pray right now for all those in this assembly who have served our nation in foreign fields and in the military, that you reward them for their service. But Father, for us who are in the kingdom of God, this is a special time to remember that our allegiance is to a kingdom beyond the kingdoms of men. And my prayer is that around the world, those who name Christ will follow the teachings of Paul, and we will live in our cultures with such nobility and integrity and courage that people around the world will ask us for the reason for the hope that we have, because we understand until the world comes under the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, there will be no real peace. So we pray for His soon return. We pray for all those who now serve. We pray for your church around the world. In Jesus' name, amen. The Dakota Indians had a saying that if you find that you are on a dead horse, the best strategy is to dismount. Well, that's not always how institutions handle the problem of dead horses. Many businesses continue to practice and operate in ways that are no longer effective, but they don't know how to dismount. I came across this piece of how many businesses handle the problem of dead horses by buying a stronger whip, by changing riders, by saying things like, "This is the way we've always ridden the horse," by appointing committees to study the horse, creating training sessions to increase riding ability, by going to other companies to see how they ride dead horses, by hiring contractors to ride the dead horse, by declaring that no horse is too dead to beat, by declaring that the horse is better, faster, and cheaper dead, and my personal favorite, by promoting the dead horse to a supervisory position. One of the strengths of the Richland Hills Church through the years has been our willingness to call a dead horse a dead horse. We've not been afraid to evaluate what we're doing, to recalibrate those areas of the church that need to be tweaked, to initiate new and never before tried ideas, and even to exterminate those programs that no longer seem to be effective. Now, that's the kind of integrity that I hope to continue to inspire by these annual State of the Pulpit addresses. You see, this week marks the end of my 15th year here, and it's been my tradition on my anniversary that every year I would bring a lesson where we take a moment to evaluate what we're doing well and what we need to do better. That's what I want to do. I think it's appropriate to do it on Pentecost Sunday, the day that God took a little group of people and expounded them into something that touched the earth, that reminds us that God can take any group and make a difference with them if they want to be fruitful. So today, we're going to take a time to look back at the last 12 months, see what God has done among us, and see what we could do for God, because we want to continue to make a trip to Bountiful. So I'm just going to start and list just a few of the ministries the last 12 months and give you an update of good things God has been doing. To Him be the glory. Let's start with our youth ministry that's grown to the largest size it's ever been in the history of that church. You're looking at our high school class. We're now having 500 teenagers come here on Wednesday nights. Before we built the youth center, the number was below 150. Now, look at that picture. 40% of the high school kids you're looking at do not have families that come to this church. They're coming to this church on their own. Just in the junior high ministry, since August, we've had 62 baptisms. You met Ricky Lewis a moment ago. He's been our intern now for 2 years. At the end of the summer, we intend to add Ricky to our youth staff because it's grown. The ministry has grown so much. We're excited about that. Our women's ministry has had a busy last 12 months. Rhonda Houck is the new women's coordinator. She directs Women in the Word. Hundreds of women are involved in weekly Bible studies. They have them in the morning and in the evening. Ladies, get on the website, learn more about it if you're looking for a Bible study. Do you remember last fall they had the big Women of Purpose Day that launched 14 new ministry opportunities? Some of them include the Hannah Ministry that is supporting women who deal with infertility. The Esther Ministry that provides prayer support for women going through different struggles. The Abigail Ministry that encourages women through cards and calls and visits. Ladies, if you're looking for a way to serve, call Rhonda. Find out more about the women's ministry. One of the under-the-current ministries that has as much fruit as any in this church is called the Money Master Ministry, where we intentionally try to teach people to steward their money to the glory of God. Crown ministry support groups that many of you have been through, Bible studies, individual budget counseling. That ministry is now being led by two new people that replaced Beverly Shockey and Sharon Epps. Gunnar Johnson, who many of you know, who grew up here, is now our Director of Life Stewardship, and Terry Ellis is our new Innkeepers Coordinator. They lead Crown studies. They do individual budget counseling. Last year, over 100 people, 100 families, got individual counsel on how to fix and make their budgets glorify God more. And one thing God's opened the door for them to do a lot now is to train people from other churches, because we're now being recognized as a leader in this kind of ministry. In fact, the Richland Hills Church in 2003 was recognized by Crown Ministries as the Church of the Year. Last year, in the last 15 months, you helped 200 families in our church to the tune of $200,000 in terms of meeting bills, paying doctor's bills, getting sure that the rent was covered, and very important issues like that. So the Money Master Ministry is bearing a lot of fruit to the glory of God. We don't have time this morning to talk about all the 501c3 ministries. The parachurch ministries that this church supervises, Christ Haven, Bread for a Hungry World, Open Arms, Community Enrichment Center, World Bible Translation Center. The list goes on and on and on. I want to be aware, though, that two new 501c3 ministries are now being supervised by this church. One is called the Latin American Institute of Biblical Studies, led by Dan Coker. I've known Dan for years. He was a missionary in Latin America for a number of years, missions professor at ACU. Think of Bible study fellowship for Latin America. For decades, Latin American Christians at the pew level, at the lay level, had no coordinated plan to do Bible study. Now they do. And this program is going to bless thousands and thousands of people in the next years. And Dan Coker, you'll hear from him later in the summer, is now coordinating that ministry. We're supervising that ministry. I'm excited about it. And then you know well about Royal Family Kids Camp. They're leaving in a few weeks. What a tremendous ministry to inner city and abused kids. But Darren Edwards, who leads this ministry, God's put it on his heart to care for the kids after they graduate from the first level of kids camp. So he's launched Our Father's Children Incorporated that does retreats and camps for the older kids too. And that's now being supervised by our church. Pray about that. Our missions ministry had a wonderful year. We raised $1.2 million last November for Harvest Sunday to complement our other missions ministry givings. And then the best thing that we did last year in missions is we got the Price family just recently on the field in Benin to help Randy and Kelly Vaughn. And we're excited that they're finally there. The outreach ministry had a phenomenal year, our best ever in terms of people coming to Christ from an unchurched background. One thing they launched last year was the TV commercials you've seen called Come Home. Funny thing is, I made all those commercials. I'm in all those commercials. I still haven't seen one. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I know people are seeing them because it's not uncommon for me to go to a store or to a restaurant and have someone stop and say, "Hey, you're that preacher on those TV commercials." It's totally cramped my lifestyle. I have to be good wherever I go now. But it's been a great way for people to hear about our church. The Passion Campaign, to go along with Mel Gibson's movie we launched in March, did a series of sermons, a lot of mail-out information. We had in March 42 people come to Christ in 1 month because of that series. Randy Travis Concert. The Randy Travis Concert gave us 900 names of new people to contact to try to lead to Christ, and already some have come. The Netcasters Ministry is a new ministry launched in the last 12 years. This is a ministry that you might be looking for, where people meet in homes weekly for Bible studies in a context that unchurched people could come to. We now have 24 groups that are meeting, with new groups being birthed all the time. You might want to call Des Stain and learn more about that. Another area of growth last year was in our website. I'm excited about this. Our website gets 130,000 hits a month, and it just keeps growing. This is the place to go to learn what's going on at our church. It's updated daily. Everything you need to know, you can learn if you get in the habit daily of checking that website. What's particularly exciting to me is to see people around the world being blessed by it, particularly by the sermons that we put online. We're putting all of my sermons online. We're putting them online translated into Spanish. We're breaking ground now and putting all of our services online for deaf-speaking people to be blessed by. 39 different countries just this month have logged on to listen to sermons around the world. And what particularly excites me is that one of our biggest areas is U.S. military personnel from around the world are getting on our website to be blessed spiritually while they serve our country in some of the hardest places in the world to live. So I want you to become familiar with the website. If you want to get involved, if you want to know how you can serve at this church, that's a good place to start. And speaking of involvement ministry, we had a good year there. We launched some new software last year to help people right here at the church get on and find out how they can serve. Have 525 new volunteers in ministry in the last 12 months that we're excited about. We now have over 2,500 identified ministry roles where you can serve at this church. There's no reason for anybody here to say, "I just couldn't find something to do." Now, those are just some of the ways in the past God has blessed us. Let me show you in the immediate future some things that I know are going to happen you'll be excited about. One, as we already mentioned, is our mission trips. We've got 35 trips planned this year. That's a Let's Start Talking group, Bill Desmuke, and a group that went to Turkey. Our teens are taking off even as we speak. That's the group that went to Mexico last year. They're going back to Mexico next weekend. 35 trips this year with over 1,100 people planning to go for at least one short-term mission trip. That's an exciting thing to share. The college ministry is about to take off because Jonathan and Leslie Stormont are joining us. They just graduated from Harding. They're going to be doing some graduate work. Their long-term plans are to join a team and go to Peru and do mission work there. But while they study, they're going to be with us. They've been with us the last two summers as interns. They're going to bless our college ministry. Our children's ministry is in for a big summer. They're going to have a huge makeover. You donated the monies in one of our recent contributions. We're going to take our children's wing and give it a much needed makeover and make it an exciting place for kids to learn about the Lord. I'm excited about a new ministry we're launching this fall, Recreation Ministry. Again, you provided the funds in our last special contribution. Our community has asked us for years, with our tremendous facilities, why we aren't giving their children more opportunities to do things with Christian supervision. And so we're going to begin this fall. I want you to pray about that. Friends Day is coming up September the 12th. I'm going to launch a series called Fear No Evil. You're going to bring your friends, and we're going to learn that when you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else that paralyzes this world. I want you to pray about it. And then a few more things. Something very special is going to happen in November. When I came to this church 15 years ago, this church was in $16 million of debt. Come November, this church is going to be debt free. And that includes, in the interim, building a new youth center that we built and paid for. It's debt free too. I am excited about that. Then two more things we hope to happen in the next 12 months. In 2005, this 20-year-old building is going to get a much-needed makeover. And we're going to start with this room. And folks, I just got to tell you, I've stared at purple as long as I can stand it. We're going to do something about this room and make it a much, much more worshipful environment. And then, in 2005, we're hoping, and if God is willing and all things happen, we're hoping to strongly consider planting a new church. We want to keep growing at this campus, but we believe there are many parts of our community that need churches. And we would like to plant some churches that have the DNA of this church. So I want you to pray about that. We got some big plans for the next 12 months. To God be the glory for everything He's done at Richard Hills last year and for everything He's planning to do. But let me change directions now. A great harvest one year doesn't guarantee a trip to Bountiful the next year. In 2006, that's just 18 months away, this church will celebrate her 50th anniversary as a congregation. Now, that's a reason to celebrate, but it's also a reason to reevaluate. And let me explain why. The fact is, although a lot of people don't want to talk about it, the Christian faith is not doing real well in America right now. It's not growing. There's not one county in America where the Christian population has increased above the proportion of the other increase in the last 10 years. 88% of churches in America are plateaued or in decline. If you're talking about 50-year-old churches, that number goes up to 98%. Old churches aren't growing. Now, we're about to be a 50-year-old church. So how can we ensure that our future is going to be as bountiful as our past? There are three things, as long as God gives me the grace to stand in this pulpit, I'm going to preach, that we must remember. Number one, we'll have a viable future if we resist the temptation to think maintenance instead of mission. Do you remember last January when I did a lesson where I compared some churches to a whale in a tank, domesticated, to other churches that are more like rhinos about to charge and bring in the kingdom of God? And I said that day, the difference is some churches have what I call a membership paradigm and some have a mission paradigm. Now, a membership paradigm sees the church as a service agency that exists for the benefit of the subscribers. The church is like a country club, and you come and you pay your dues, and for your dues, you expect quality service to you and your family. That's a membership paradigm. The mission paradigm sees the church as God's instrument to advance His reign in the world. The church does not exist to serve the members, but it exists to reach out to the people who don't know God yet. Now, one reason church plants and new churches grow and old churches stop growing is because if you're a church plant, if you don't reach new people, you don't make it. You don't survive unless you stay focused on the mission to reach people. But you start to grow and you start to age. And inevitably, it seems that churches began to turn inward and become more self-absorbed. And they began to get real distracted by issues. Issues they didn't have time for when they were planted, because when they were planted, if they didn't reach more people, they didn't make it. But now they've made it. They've got a building paid for. They've got a budget. They've got a preacher. And before long, they're just doing church instead of advancing the kingdom of God. You see, if you think missionally, it is inevitable that comfort zones get challenged, because your target, your task is to reach people that haven't been with you yet, who don't share your traditions and your comfort zones, and so they upset them when they show up. But what happens to a lot of churches is status quo becomes quite acceptable. And maintaining status quo becomes the mission, and not doing anything that would disturb the peace becomes the standard by which you measure everything. And so, before long, you're on a dead horse, and nobody wants to get off. I'm 47 years old. And that's preacher years. Preacher years are like dog years. I feel like I'm about 94. If God gives me the grace to do this 10, 20 more years, I guarantee you, folks, you're not looking at a guy who's wired for maintenance. I want to do mission. I want to see the kingdom of God expand in Northeast Tarrant County. Status quo. And just keeping comfortable people more comfortable has absolutely no appeal to me. We must resist the temptation to think maintenance instead of mission. Second, we will have a viable future if we persist in calling everyone to trade a napkin for an apron. You see, membership thinking has an entitlement mentality. I have come, so serve me. And you put on the napkin. But mission thinking doesn't have an entitlement mentality. In mission churches, they create a climate of expectation. And you come not to put on a napkin, but you come to put on an apron. Now, how do you know if somebody's got on a napkin or an apron? Simple. Listen to what they complain about. Napkin people complain because the church isn't serving them as well as it should. And apron people are upset if something is hindering their capacity to do something better for Jesus. Our task as church leaders, according to Ephesians 4, is not to do all the ministry. Our task is to equip you to be better ministers. And you have got to own this church. This is your church. When you hear that we need 75 more people this summer in the children's ministry, you need to own that and feel that burden. Those are your kids. And when you see that we're missing our budget by about $12,000 a week, you need to feel that. I know that special contributions are more glamorous. It's more exciting to put a mission team on the field or to buy a van for an orphanage. But every one of you are enjoying an air conditioner right now that someone's got to pay for. And someone's got to clean up the youth center after 500 teenagers have been in it. And somebody's got to pay for the preachers. and take care of all the Bible class needs those kids have. And every one of us come here and we sit here and we receive all these blessings, and every one of us need to feel ownership in making sure they continue for the next generation. There are no unnecessary members at Richland Hills, but there are unused gifts. And we only have a viable future if we call everybody to take off the napkin and put on the apron and find how you can serve God here. And one more thing. We have a viable future if we insist that the gospel content can be poured in any container. The Richland Hills Church does not look anything like it did 50 years ago. And I'm not talking just about the fact that it's bigger. I'm saying that almost everything this church does and the way it does it is different than the way this church began. And yet it is no less the church of Jesus Christ than it was in the beginning. And that is because of this one very, very important critical principle we must understand. That is that the timeless gospel can exist in a variety of temporal containers. What is the timeless gospel? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. Now, brothers, I want you to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and which you've taken your stand. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, that's the gospel. The death and burial, resurrection of Jesus to deal with sins and make people right with God. That's the gospel. Now, that gospel content can exist in a wide variety of containers. I'm going to try to illustrate that now. I hope this works. I'm going to call this the gospel. It's supposed to be pure water. It's called Evian. I would never recommend you pay this much for it. But it's supposed to be pure, so we're going to call it the pure gospel. And here's a container. Now, can this container hold the pure gospel? Well, as a matter of fact, it can. It's a very useful container, very functional, and it can hold the gospel, the pure gospel, quite well. Is that the only kind of container that can hold the gospel? Of course not. I'm going to show you another picture. This is rose-colored depression glass. I got this out of our china cabinet. First service, some guy said, "Boy, your wife must really trust you." I didn't ask her. She found out the same time you did. I got on eBay. Now, the funny thing is, when this came out, it was worth nothing. This was considered cheap. But now, it's old, it's pretty. According to eBay, it's worth $80. Can it hold the gospel? Something old? Something pretty? As a matter of fact, it can hold the gospel real well. The pure, simple gospel. It can hold the gospel. But you know what? At my house, we don't use this. We look at it, but we don't use it. Because I've got three kids, and I've got a Kool-Aid budget going through the roof. At my house, we use 99 cent store. Now, it's not as pretty, and I'm sure some people just can't stand the thought that this would be their container. But it works in my house. And you know what? It can hold the gospel too. Now, what's the point? The chief reason churches decline when they get old, they confuse the container with the gospel. And they get wrapped up in preserving a certain container. And they stop asking the question, is our culture, is this the right container for our culture? I'm tired, folks. I'm tired of arguing about containers. I'm tired of arguing about, do you have to have a big room or can you meet in the house? Any size room can hold the pure gospel. What time of day can you have a service? What day of the week can you have a service? Any day of the week you can preach the gospel. Do you have to wear a suit or can you wear shorts and sandals? Believe it or not, you can wear both and preach the gospel. And I'm tired of arguments about music. What is gospel music? The music that some people insist is the only way the gospel can be heard is just a container. It was new once, and people didn't like it when it was new. It's not more reverent. It's not more biblical than any other kind of music that can hold the gospel. The question you got to ask is, what is the best container to reach your culture? And here's the hard part. Churches that have a future are willing to put the living water in containers they don't personally want to drink out of. You understand that? I don't like rap music, but we better start planting some churches somewhere that put the gospel to rap, because that's what some people are going to listen to that aren't going to listen to anything else. And to sit there and say, well, if that's what we got to put the gospel in, I just don't want... Folks, if your gospel can be damaged by the container, something's wrong with your gospel. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel. I like the way it reads in the New Living Translation. I try to find common ground with everyone, so that I might bring them to Christ. I told you in January, I get tired of people wondering if I have an agenda. Of course I have an agenda. My agenda is to bring as many as possible, as soon as possible, by all means possible, into the kingdom of God. The world does not need dead horses. The world needs to meet the living God. There's no way, if this church has a viable future, the container will stay the same. There's no way, if we plant churches that are going to reach their culture, we can tell them to pick up a container that's still pretty, but that nobody can use anymore. At the turn of the last century, the most powerful industry in America were the railroads. The railroad barons were the Bill Gateses of their day. Nobody compared to them in financial and political clout. And then something showed up called a car. And the railroad barons dismissed the car. That wasn't their business. Their business was railroads. They could have been in on the front lines with their resources, with their political clout. They could have dominated the car industry. That wasn't their thing. They were into railroads. So they ignored the car. And they became increasingly irrelevant. Because the truth of the matter is, they weren't really in the railroad business. They were in the transportation business. And they got caught up in preserving a certain way to get people from one place to the other, instead of remembering what their real task was. Our task is not to preserve a container. or a heritage or a tradition. Our business is to see as many people come under the reign of Lord Jesus as we possibly can before we go to meet Him ourselves. That is our business. And I cannot wait to see all of the new ways God is going to show us to do that. The journey ahead at times will be uncomfortable for us. But if God is in it, it will be a trip to Bountiful. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for this church. We thank You for Your 50 years of faithfulness to her. We thank You for all of the good men and women who went before us, made great sacrifices to give us what we now enjoy, what we must now steward and pass on to others. Father, forgive us if we have made status quo and comfort zone a higher priority than advancing the kingdom of God. Give us all an increased ownership in the mission of this church and an increased passion to be a part of the future. And we pray this in the name of the One who gave everything He had and who is worthy of everything we've got. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Elders and ministers are going to be in room 109 to pray with people today. I'm going to be down front to receive people ready to be baptized. The gospel is that Jesus died, was buried, and raised again for your sins. And to show faith in the gospel, you should reenact His death and His burial and resurrection. That's what you do when you're baptized. And if you've never made that faith step, make it today. And we're going to sing a song as we pledge together to leap into the future. We've changed the words of the song so that we can sing it corporately and not individually, because we're going to go into the future together. So you respond while we stand up and sing.
We're pressing on the upward way. New heights we're gaining every day. Still praying as we onward bound. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven's table land. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant our feet on higher ground. Our heart has no desire to stay. Where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, our prayer, our aim is higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven. To live above the world, though Satan starts at us unheard. For faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Lord, lift us up and let us stand by faith on heaven. Higher ground, we want to scale the utmost skies, Jesus high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still we'll pray till heaven we found. Lord, lead us on to higher ground. Lord, lift us up.
Thank you, church. Remain standing, please. Would you pass your attendance cards to the aisle? Guests, turn in the purple card or take it to the Welcome Center. Let us give you a packet that tells you more about our church. Two announcements. One, as I mentioned earlier, we've been missing our budget this year. It's very unlike us, missing about $12,000 a week. We're not going to go into debt. We're either going to curtail some ministry plans we have or we're going to pick up our giving. On June the 20th, we're going to have a special Sunday to pick up our giving. I'm going to ask you today to go back, find all those Sundays you missed, see what you can do. If we can have a Sunday where we have about three times our normal offering, we'll be back on schedule and we'll keep doing the things we've got planned to do. So put that in your prayers. One more request. This Wednesday night, I'll be hosting a conference of leaders from Churches of Christ and Christian churches across the country to promote unity in our two fellowships. A lot of our Christian church leaders are really excited. They've heard about Richmond Hills. They've heard about the worship. Some of them have never experienced a cappella worship like we have here on Wednesday nights. I want them to hear it. They can't hear it unless you come and sing. This is your church. Show up and let's give them a blessing. It'll be a wonderful night together. Let's sing one more verse of "To God Be the Glory."
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yields His life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice.
Praise the Lord,
praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done.
Now, Father, dismiss us with the great desire to give You the glory for everything that we do here, and to do nothing here that would not bring You glory. In Jesus' name, amen.